Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition. It's College Football Insiders Radio. I'm your host, Joe Everett, filling in for the main man, Dan Mullion, out with the flu. We're going to be talking bowl preview special in his stead. This is Joe Everett. I'm in the big chair, ready to break down the bowl season for all you football-aholics out there. With the holidays comes the best of times for the game of football in the world. We know the NFL is about to start off their playoffs. The college bowl games are in full swing, and the NFL draft clock just won't stop tick-tocking, and that's why we keep it rocking with new content daily with that in mind. Before we break down these bowls, I'd like to add that we're already firing up our NFL draft player spotlights over at the site. We have a number of interviews already posted. Defensive end Chris Carter from Fresno State, cornerback Curtis Marsh, Utah State, Juan Nunez, wide receiver of Western Michigan, James Dockery, corner from Oregon State, and just today, I had the privilege and honor of sitting down with cornerback Devon House of New Mexico State, all-star game invitee. We're going to be watching him at the Senior Bowl amongst many postseason things. And that's just this week, folks. So if you want to catch out all those spotlights and more yet to come, you know where to go. And why follow NFLDraftBible.com? News breaking every single day. We've learned that a third of the 32 players currently listed as confirmed by the East-West Shrine Game have not, in fact, signed up yet or been officially connected to the game by the players themselves, their colleges, or prospective agents. Also have confirmed today that 10 senior running backs and 12 senior corners who have been invited or told to expect invites from the Under Armour Senior Bowl. By the numbers, folks, it's getting awfully crowded. Traditionally, there's been 6 running backs, 8 corners, so there may be a few dissatisfied running backs. Anthony Allen might have some bad news being listed as a fullback. But once again, we're going to have exclusive coverage. All the football all-star games on location at the NFL Combine. Pro Day coverage leading up to the draft. Log on now. It's NFL DraftBible.com just to get a look at the official Senior Bowl and Shrine Game rosters. The latest news general, the HBCU All-Star Game fired up, and it must be noted that Fort Valley State senior wide receiver Ricardo Lockett rocked the 40 time, a sub-4.4 time on both attempts. You have to be monitoring this guy and where he's going. And other news, we've had several unreported facts involving Brian Hartline, senior Kentucky quarterback and younger brother of Mike, or actually I've got those backwards. Mike Hartline was actually arrested for disorderly conduct and alcohol intoxication, was actually protecting his girlfriend, being verbally confronted, attempting to get themselves out of a bad situation. But the big news before we get down to breaking down the bowl games, of course, is Terrell Pryor and the Ohio State University folks getting in trouble, losing the very beginning of their next season, might prompt Mr. Pryor to enter that draft just a wee bit early, or at least earlier than expected. We are being joined by Kenny Franek. I believe that's him on the line. Talk a little Pryor before we break these bowl games down. Kenny, is that you from the 952?
Yes, it is me, Joe.
Thanks so much for joining me. And first off, I just want to get your take on the Terrell Pryor situation. This is slippery slope here, but a lot of scouts have him as a third, fourth round grade if he does come out. What's your thoughts about it now, and where in your mind does he stack up with the rest of this quarterback class?
Well, you know, I don't think he has the intangibles that a lot of, you know, like the Andrew Lux, even like a Blaine Gabbert, I think you have to list him below him, too. I don't see him as a pure pocket passer. He's kind of a poor man's Michael Vick. You know, he's built a little bit bigger. He's definitely not as fast as Vick, but he does have the speed to get out of the pocket and run. Someone's going to find that intriguing. You know, they're seeing what Vick's doing out there now. You know, I like the third, fourth round grade for him. And now with this scandal going on, you know, you got to assume that no one's going to sit there and you know, down him for it. No one down Reggie Bush for his scandal. I mean, no one's going to take notice to this. It's just money involved. You know, people are going to look past it and move on. So, you know, I think now it's just for him to take care of his business and try to get a little better grade when he goes to the combine.
No, absolutely. He's going to definitely have to test out through the roofs. And I've got to agree, I've got prospects like Gabbard ahead of him, Endrell, I mean, even Devlin from Delaware. I don't know if he's going to have to go the wide receiver route or not, but hopefully better days to come for Terrell Pryor. You're listening to College Football Insiders Radio. Joe Everett, and I am joined by Kenny Franek. We're going to break down the bowl games that you are about to watch. And, Kenny, we better get us started off with the Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego. To quote the anchor man, you would believe Hoke and the San Diego State boys might have an advantage here, but apparently there is a large Navy base on site as well. This is a first bowl appearance for San Diego since 98. Who you liking in this game? Maybe give us a few players to watch.
Well, I mean, I do like San Diego. I mean, Navy, if you look at their schedule, they've beaten virtually no one. You know, it's actually kind of crazy how they even got into a bowl game, to be honest with you. Nonetheless, they are in the bowl game, so, you know, they're going to play it. I mean, San Diego State, they're just too powerful on offense, I think. You know, Navy does run the triple offense, or option offense, sorry about that, and they do rank fifth nationally in rushing. But, I mean, San Diego State can put points on the boards in bunches. So, I mean, even if they do happen to fall behind, giving up a couple rushing touchdowns, I mean, they can get right back into it. You know, they got, you know, Vincent Brown and DeMarco Sampson, both 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, they just got too much firepower on offense. So I think it's going to be all San Diego State in this one.
Tough to argue that. And as far as those players you brought up, I mean, Vincent Brown's a very intriguing player, 6'1", 195. The guy has some nice after-the-catch moves and the ability to break tackles. And you've also brought up Sampson, the big deep threat, a 6'2 player, good hands. So which one of these two would you say fits best into the NFL?
Well, I like big deep threat receivers. I think that's what's kind of, you know, being, I guess, more of the monster in the NFL nowadays. I mean, you look at Calvin Johnson, you look at Sidney Rice, you know, you look at Randy Moss. Anyone that can stretch the field and go up and get the ball, someone's going to want that. I mean, possession receivers are a dime a dozen. There's a ton of, you know, smaller, you know, slot receivers out there that you can pick up, you know, via free agency or later in the draft, even undrafted free agency. So I think that, you know, it's got to be the bigger, taller playmaker that can stretch the field.
Definitely got to like him. And just real quick on the other side of the ball here, Ricky Dobbs, the dual threat player, he's certainly been effective for the midshipmen, but at the same time, I don't know that I see him at the next level being able to play the signal caller. Am I crazy on that one, or is this maybe the last of Ricky Dobbs' limelight?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, no one, first of all, no one really likes the option quarterback in the NFL. Like you said, they have to pretty much learn the offense all over. So, I mean, it's really going back to high school level for them, trying to learn the, you know, all the ins and outs of an NFL offense, which is way more complex, as we know, than a college offense in general. And, you know, he's kind of like a poor man's Tim Tebow. And everyone knocked Tebow for coming out because he wasn't a pocket passer and all he could do is run. But, I mean, this guy's even smaller than Tebow, and he doesn't possess the skill set that Tebow has. So, I mean, I think this is the last we'll see of him.
It has been a good career. Definitely have San Diego in that game. You are listening to College Football Insiders Radio, powered by All Access Football. It's NFLDraftBible.com. Time is the draft approaches. It is bowl season, and this is our bowl preview. We move over to the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl, Aloha Stadium. The Hawaii Rainbows are favored by about 10.5 in this one. Tulsa's the fifth-ranked offense in the country, while Hawaii ranks 8. Very intriguing QBs here. Both teams are actually 3-2 in the past five bowl appearances. How do you think this one shakes out?
Oh, didn't the bowl system finally got this one right, didn't they? I love it when they pit two top 10 offenses together in the same bowl game. I mean, just offensive fireworks galore. I like Hawaii's offense. I really do. With Bryant Moniz, he's just been an outstanding quarterback this year, standing in the pocket. And he's got top weapons with Greg Salas and Kealoha Pilares. I mean, they both cracked 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns this season. I mean, it's going to be really hard for the Tulsa defense, which isn't good by any means. Their secondary is weak, to even contain one, let alone two of those players. So I think it's going to be a lot of Hawaii in this one. But, I mean, G.J. Kenny, you can't go against a veteran quarterback of his caliber. I mean, he's a nice dual-threat quarterback, too, that can lead the way. And Demaris Johnson is just an all-around playmaker. A little smaller in size, but he was actually second on the team in rushing this year. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what gadget plays they throw in there for him to kind of catch the Hawaii defense off guard. But in the end, I think it's going to be too much Hawaii.
I have to agree there, and yes, they will have to resort to a little trickery to get the best of the Rainbows in their stadium. As far as pro prospects here, you nailed the guy right on the dot, Kenny. It's Greg Salas, 6'2", 200 pounds. This guy's a 100-catch-plus receiver. Now, granted, it is a wonderful system to be a wide receiver in, but I think this guy's got the game that will translate to the pros.
He does. If you watch him play, I mean, I know not a lot of Hawaii games are on TV, but, you know, I got a chance to watch him play, you know, once or twice here during the season. I mean, he's an effective runner. He doesn't get manhandled at the line, which is nice. That's what you're going to have because he's going to be going up against, obviously, a lot more physical corners than what he's facing in the WAC. But, I mean, he's got the skills to beat people off the line. He's got nice speed, not outstanding, but good speed. And he's got the size that everyone's going to covet. He's able to go up and get the ball, and he's a sound route runner. So, I mean, I think he has a chance to make it in the league.
Absolutely. He's going to put that 6'2 frame to good use, beating jams. You are listening to College Football Insiders Radio. We are on live. It's Fantasy Sports Channel. You want to access our chat room, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/allaccessfootball. Click to chat. We've got a few folks in there. You got a question for the show, go ahead and post it. We'll get it on. You've got a bowl game you're interested in talking about, just pop it in the chat. We move on to the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl, Detroit Ford Field here. It is FIU against Toledo, and Toledo is favored, but not by a lot. It's only about 1.5. Few people expected FIU to even make a bowl game here, but here it's the here and the now, Mac Power in Toledo. Who do you have in this game, and why?
Well, I got Toledo. It was amazing in itself how Florida International actually even made the bowl game, like you said. I mean, they started off the season 0-4, so for them to actually rattle off 6 wins in this season alone was a feat in itself. So they should be happy just being playing in the bowl right now. But, yeah, I think it's too much Toledo. They got to deal with the triple-threat wide receiver, Eric Page, who caught 94 passes for over 1,000 yards. He's dangerous in the return game. He returned 3 kickoffs for touchdowns. And he even threw 3 touchdown passes. He had 3 attempts this year, and they all went for touchdowns. So I can guarantee you that they're going to throw a couple wrinkles there in their offensive scheme and have him do a lot of playmaking when they do have the ball on offense.
Most definitely, and you got to give credit to the coach there, Cristobal. This team gone 9-39 the past 4 seasons, just getting them into to a bowling situation. The guy deserves a lot of credit. Another player, I mean, just for selfish reasons, I like this T.Y. Hilston, the guy, FIU receiver. He is very diminutive, but a spark player. plug in that passing game. I'd be interested if he could get unleashed here and make a few big plays there. We shall see. It is Bowl Game Spectacular, College Football Insiders Radio. You can follow us on Twitter as well as at NFL Draft Bible Twitter. It's time to cover the Advocare Independence Bowl, Shreveport, Louisiana. Now, this one is a dandy. Georgia Tech coming in to play Air Force. Air Force, though, is favored in this game. Going to be played on Monday. More old-school triple-option offenses here with Georgia Tech and Air Force. Both these teams like to run the ball a lot, Kenny.
Yeah, unfortunately for Georgia Tech, you got to give the nod to Air Force in this one. With them missing Josh Nesbitt, I mean, that's going to hurt them a lot. Now they got to go with sophomore quarterback Tevin Washington. Jared Tew is going to be out for Air Force, but they got a capable running back in Asher Clark, and Tim Jefferson's been incredible this season. So, I mean, when you look at the option offenses that they both run, you got to like what Air Force brings to the table. They did play some good competition during the season too. Obviously, Georgia Tech and the ACC had to play their amount of elite teams, but without Josh Nesbitt in that lineup, I got to go for Air Force.
I have to agree. It's just too big of a loss to overcome. But the running back you brought up, Asher Clark, is another guy just to keep tabs on. I mean, they use him a lot of different situations. He can get to the next level, and he can break the tackles and make the moves. And, of course, Anthony Allen, I mean, you have to catch him in this last game for the Yellow Jackets. Definitely had a good career there. Any other players in this matchup you're keeping tabs on, Kenny?
On the Air Force defensive front, I like Rick Ricketts and Zach Payne. They're both some players to watch. And also Brady Amok is going to be another guy to look for. That linebacking core of the Falcons is actually pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do on defense in this game and slowing down that potent Georgia Tech offensive attack. And obviously linebacker play will be huge in this game because they'll have to be, gap responsive, and they will have to attack the ball quickly. Otherwise, if, Georgia Tech's able to get to that second level, Anthony Allen's going to take it the distance. So.
And you know that he can do it. We move on to the Military Bowl, ECU, Maryland, now without the coach, RFK Stadium here. Maryland is still favored by about 7.5. A 2-10 team a year ago. Maryland made the pretty good turnaround FBS there with an 8-win season. This game has definitely got, once again, two talented quarterbacks. How do you see this one playing out? Who wins? Why, and a player to watch?
Well, it's funny. I actually picked Maryland to win this game, but the player to watch is Dominique Davis. He ranks sixth in the nation in total offense. And, I mean, the guy is kind of the complete package. I mean, he can stand in the pocket and pass it. He can get to the outside and run it if need be when the pocket collapses. I like Dwayne Harris, obviously one of the best receivers in the league, probably – one of the most unsung receiving heroes, I guess you could say, over the past two seasons. I know he got a lot of talk preseason, but that talk kind of cooled off during the year. I don't know why, but he's going to be a guy to look for during this game, too, is that hookup between Davis and Harris.
Most definitely. You're listening to College Football Insiders Radio. I'm on live with Kenny Franek. It is powered by All Access Football. We're breaking down all the bowl games that you're about to see. The next one on the list, of course, has to be the Armed Forces Bowl. Can't have the bowl talk without it. Why don't you go ahead and tell the folks, Kenny, who you've got in this one and why.
Well, I like Southern Methodist. I actually just got done watching that 30-for-30 about a week ago. And if that doesn't get the team jacked up to play, I don't really know what will. They've been pretty much just a doormat of their conference for years now, and now they get the chance to, you know, show up on the national televised game and show what they're made of. You know, I like SMU because they got, you know, a 3,500-yard passer in Kyle Pardon. They got a 1,000-yard rusher in Zach Line. And they have not one but 2,000-yard receivers in Aldrick Robinson and Cole Beasley. That alone is just going to be, I think, a little bit too much for Army to contain there. But, you can't stop Army short, you know. They got a nice run game. They got, a decent defense. I wouldn't say it's anything daunting, but – but like I said, I think it's going to be too hard at the end of the day for them to stop all those weapons that SMU has on offense.
I've got to agree. June Jones definitely has those guys clicking on all cylinders, and that's something that you just can't ignore. The offense is a powerhouse at this point. Say it's spread, say it's gimmicky, they're getting points on the board at a faster rate than the other teams, and it is bowl season, and one of the games that I have to actually ask you about, we've got a little time left. If you're free, if you can, the Champ Sports Bowl, the Orlando, Florida game here. It's West Virginia. It's NC State. And Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, again, the QBs are matching up. The NC State junior, finished 11th in the nation in total offense, and while though the West Virginia offense is no joke at all, 23 touchdowns for Mr. Smith. West Virginia's favored by 2.5. Who do you like, and who are you watching?
Well, I like NC State. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to jump on the Noel Devine bandwagon. I mean, he was supposed to be the next hottest thing since Sean Moreno coming up this season. But, you know, he didn't really step and play to his level this year. I expect him to come out big in this game. He is my player to watch, believe it or not. But I just don't think that West Virginia is strong enough, you know, and physical enough as NC State to pull this one off.
I have to agree there. And just on the Noel Devine, it has been by and large a bit of a disappointing season for the guy. I think scouts expect a lot much more from him on the ground and through the air. What's your prognosis on him heading into the pro level? I mean, is this the second coming of a Steve Slayton type, or does he actually have a chance to last in the pros?
I was going to say, well, he better hope that he doesn't become the next Steve Slayton. We all seen what happened to him over the last 2 years. But, yeah, I think he's actually got, better skills than Steve Slayton. I know everyone was high on Steve Slayton coming out when he came out for the draft. But Noel Devine, I know, granted, he wasn't really 100% this year, too. He was battling some injuries pretty much all year long. But I do like his burst of speed. I mean, once he catches the ball and if he stops, I mean, he can get it going 0-60 quick. That's what I really like about him. And he may not be the biggest back out there, but he does run with power. So, I mean, that's going to be another huge thing to look at, is they don't want a frail back there. We've seen too many injuries, especially to running backs, over the last couple seasons in the NFL. And I think everyone's going to look at his injury and might shy away from him, because they don't want somebody with injury, an injured past, coming into their offense and getting banged up right away. Kind of like what Ryan Matthews went through this past year. You know, highly touted. He had a great season last year. He comes out and he gets injured virtually, you know, within the first couple of games. And then you never saw him pretty much at full health until recently. And I don't think a team's going to want to waste a decent draft pick on a running back that is going to, you know, likely get hurt, or what they think he's going to get hurt, and then, you know, be kind of left out in the cold, so to speak.
It is. It's a huge concern for these GMs and player management personnel decisions you've got to make, especially in the game of attrition that it's turning into in the looming 18-game season. You have to have guys that are going to be there standing, and yes, I do emphasize standing, at the end. And you couldn't have been more right on Matthews. This guy, not once did he complete a full season at Fresno without getting hurt, and lo and behold, at the pro level, He has frustrated us once again. Kenny, I can't thank you enough for calling in and sharing your aspects and perspective of these games that you covered for us on NFLDraftBible.com and the Bowl Game newsletter. Before I let you go, you want to tell the folks where else they can find your stuff, what you've got on tap, and where to look?
Well, you can, like you said, you can find me at the NFLDraftBible.com website. If you search Kenny Franek in the search box, it'll bring up all my stuff that I've written for him. And also, if you subscribe to the College Football Insiders newsletter, I am the main BCS Busters guy there. So, you know, I cover all the non-talked-about teams, so to speak, the non-automatic qualifying teams. So go check me out. I was high on Boise State this year, and they kind of snubbed me. So, and now I got to kind of root for Nevada in this next game coming up just to prove that they still got what it takes to be victorious.
Well, you're only off by one flawed kick there, my friend. But once again, Kenny, thanks, and all the best going forward. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joe.
And that, once again, that's Kenny Franek. You want to search NFLDraftBible.com because you can check his stuff out anytime you want. And shifting gears on the switchboard with us right now is one of our senior draft analysts, Justin Van Fulpen. Fresh off a conference call, I hear, but Justin, it is great to have you on. How is it going this evening, sir?
It's going great, man. How's it going with you?
Bearing with it, holding the fort down for Mr. Daniel Moglione, barely staying stable here in the big chair. But what I wanted to get you on is some of the bigger announcements, I guess, at the NFLPA game you've got going on. Here, all pros, Kevin Mawai, Wendell Davis, Jeff Burris from Notre Dame. Have to add that in there. And Dave Butts are getting involved. Care to share any of the recent announcements and what you've got going on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're very excited about our move from El Paso to San Antonio and getting the NFLPA involved as our headline type sponsor and partner with us here with our game. And Kevin Y and like I said, Jeff Burris, Wendell Davis, guys who are real pros and has played a long time. Obviously, Kevin Y, been a Pro Bowl type player. Also, is the the president of the NFLPA. So definitely as far as helps him on that standpoint. And we also were able to release about our first 12 guys. Now, we've got about 70 guys who have signed up, but we kind of, are going to obviously release those in, stages. But kind of the guys who we've had kind of made aware is more of our Texas-type-based guys and kind of leading off with, some Texas Tech guys, quarterback Taylor Potts, linebacker we've invited and accepted. Is as far as Ryan Duncan, and then you've got a couple Longhorns, which Kyle Hicks, as far as offensive tackle, defensive end, Eddie Jones. Some of the higher-rated receivers, as far as senior-wise goes, that's in the state of Texas. Edmund Gates from Abilene Christian is also, as well as Stephen Burton from West Texas A&M. Running back, Jay Finley from Baylor, cornerback, Jonathan Nelson from Oklahoma. So really, we're excited about the guys that we've, were able to kind of release their names and kind of also kind of let you, let people know kind of where we're at, and some, definitely some good guys. And obviously, we hope to be able to release more as we get kind of closer, to the game. But we're definitely excited about what we've got going on here at the NFLPA game.
Most definitely, especially the all-pros involved working with these young athletes and getting them even closer to their NFL goal. Just definitely an exciting part of it. And, more than over 400 players have gotten into the NFL thanks to this game. And Justin, that is just excellent news. But we've got somebody else on the switchboard. It is the one, the only Kelron Sykes Super Scout. Pac-10 expert as well, have you note. We are going to have ourselves a little NFL draft roundtable. I've got the experts on with me, and that's how I roll. Kelron, I should have you on. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
Any day of the week, we talk NFL draft nonstop because the tick-down clock doesn't quit. Which QB, and I'll go ahead and start with you, Justin, which do you think quarterback that has a chance to elevate his draft stock the most in some of these week's bowl games?
Well, you know, I mean, I think obviously Jake Locker going against Nebraska, which he had a horrible game there in the regular season, and he's a guy who, you know, came into the, you know, the process as a senior, and everybody said, hey, this is a guy who could possibly be the number one overall pick. He's obviously, you know, his stock has dropped as a senior, and then we also see, you know, guys like Cam Newton, Ryan Mallett, Andrew Luck, all guys who are rumored to declare early and come out and all have really kind of pushed himself above Jake Locker. And so I think as far as being able to go against Nebraska, which he had, you know, a horrible game there in the Holiday Bowl on December 30th, he really got a shot to be able to help his stock and kind of get back up into that, you know, mid to early first round.
Most definitely. Kel Ron, what's your take on a quarterback that might be able to separate himself a little bit and take his stock up?
Well, let's assuming that Luck does declare, and you know, obviously, he, you know, that's a foregone conclusion that he will be the first quarterback taken off the board. Then you have guys like Mallett, Locker, you know, as Justin just mentioned, and Cam Newton that are fighting for that number two spot, you know, for that mid to early, you know, first round pick. So let's assume Mallett plays well in this upcoming bowl game. I'm going to assume just because of his style of play, you know, being 6'6", 200 and some odd pounds, he has a strong arm, can throw the intermediate route, the short route. I think he can surpass Cam Newton and solidify himself as the number two quarterback in this upcoming draft.
Oh, absolutely. Interesting. Now, the second topic I wanted to get to you guys, and it's a little more expansive, take it where you want it, but there's a lot of good defenders coming up in these bowls. And, Kel Ronald, I'll let you start this one off. Could you give me three guys on the defensive side of the ball that you're going to be watching this week you think have a chance to really shine with their matchup?
Well, I'm going to see Adrian Claiborne practice tomorrow here in Phoenix. He's a guy that's kind of been up and down throughout the year. Daquan Bowers is another guy that, you know, obviously, you know, he's been phenomenal coming off the edge this year. I mean, he's, you know, if he declares also, you're talking about a top 10 pick, you know, with him as well. And also the quarterback, Prince Akamamara from Nebraska. He's a shutdown corner. Once again, if he declares, we're talking about, you know, a guy that's going to play a long time in the NFL, you know, being 6 foot, you know, long arms, you know, very rangy. You know, he can play press, he can play off, you know, great field awareness. You know, he can flip his hips well, and, you know, he's a playmaker. So those three guys are going to be interesting to see just in terms of what they do in these bowl games.
Definitely have the biggest of stages in front of them right now. Justin, your take, three defenders you're coming into these bowl games really wanting to watch and just break down their matchup.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Adrian Claiborne kind of, you know, stood out to me. But so if Kelron got him, I'll go ahead and get you, you know, three other ones. I think one thing we look at in that Alamo Bowl, as far as Ricky Elmore, I mean, he really has really kind of taken his stock as an undrafted rookie free agent grade in the spring to really kind of elevating his grade to probably being a, you know, fourth or fifth round type player. So I'm saying, hey, can he still keep that elevation up there? And then also, as far as in that game, you got it's on the other side. That's Brooks Reed. A lot of as far as news is that Brooks Reed is going to be going to the Senior Bowl, and it's kind of, you know, over the years kind of outshined Ricky Elmore. So we're going to be able to see those two guys, you know, one last time at the Alamo Bowl against Oklahoma State, who's a, you know, great Big 12 opponent. And those two guys are really, you know, going to be able to kind of show. And then in the Pinstripe Bowl there in New York, which would be definitely a very interesting bowl game, and as far as there at Yankee Stadium. But as far as Doug Hogue, the outside linebacker there with Syracuse, obviously he gets to take on a great running back, Daniel Thomas there in Kansas State. But I think as far as what we'll see with Daniel Hogue is, hey, we know he's a great athlete, was a former running back. He can run and do different things like that. But Kansas State likes to run the football. And we know Hogue can play in coverage. The biggest question is, can he go ahead and take on, shed the blocks, and make the tackle on a big physical running back and Daniel Thomas? So I think as far as those three guys really have an opportunity to kind of go from, hey, where they're at right about now, you know, fifth round picks, kind of all of them, kind of, and hey, who's going to elevate with one last as far as bowl game before, you know, all-star games for all three of them, as well as the combine, to kind of get us in this process.
definitely good names to watch. The defensive side of the ball, the draft prospects that you need to know. It's College Football Insiders Radio. I am joined by Super Scout Kellon Sykes, Justin Van Polen, senior NFL draft analyst. Trying not to get too excited. We are talking roundtable, the third topic that I definitely have to get out here. And back to you, Justin, just as scouting all these potential future NFL players involved, just give us a player. Which one has you the game, actually, that has you most excited that is full of all NFL prospects?
Well, I think, you go to back to that Alamo Bowl there in Oklahoma State with Arizona, and Oklahoma State. You know, another guy as far as the other Reed, DeAndre Reed, is a defensive end who's kind of under the radar. You got as well as the receivers that, there's as far as the Arizona receiver who's thinking about declaring early, Nick Foles, who's a junior who might declare early. And then you got Oklahoma State where you got Kendall Hunter as far as one of the top running backs. You got Justin Blackman, as far as the underclass receiver who's thinking about declaring early. So I'm really interested to see that Oklahoma State-Arizona matchup there on December 29th. I think that we'll have a lot of players in there. As far as on the Oklahoma State side, Andrew McGee in Oklahoma, as far as a cornerback who's really kind of rose up the board there. So it should be an interesting matchup as far as all around.
The Alamo Bowl is littered with talent. It's definitely a good call. Kellron, what about you? Which of these bowls do you think has you the most excited because of all the NFL talent accumulated?
Yeah, I like the Rose Bowl, that Wisconsin-TCU matchup. I mean, you got obviously starting with the running back, John Clay, who's had a tremendous season for Wisconsin. But the interesting matchup is going to be Wayne Daniels and Karimi, the big tackle from Wisconsin. I mean, that's going to be an interesting matchup just in terms of stockpiling their draft status for this upcoming draft. Also with Jake Kirkpatrick, the center from TCU, and Marcus Cannon. I mean, those guys are probably mid to late round picks right now, but it's NFL talent across the board on that field, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. J.J. Watt is another guy Watt has been playing extremely well this year, so it's a lot of NFL, once again, a lot of NFL talented guys out there, and it's going to be an interesting matchup.
Pasadena will be full of the NFL draft prospects, and so are we. College Football Insiders Radio, powered by All Access Football. Justin, it has been a pleasure having you on, and thanks for sharing the time out of the busy schedule. And once again, we will catch up with you next week, sir.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Justin, appreciate it. You can catch him at NFLDraftBible.com, of course. And, Kellron, I'm keeping you on because you are a keeper, for that matter, while we are on the topic. But you've got some Pac-10 games that we want you to break down, and it's got to be the first one I want to start with was the Nebraska-Washington contest. We alluded to it before. I mean, you've got Locker, you've got Amukamara. It is going to be a big-time game. Why don't you tell the folks what to expect and what you're going to be watching for?
Well, once again, that's the key. What will Locker bring to the table, versus Nebraska? Didn't particularly play that well, earlier this season, but in my opinion, Locker is more of a physical specimen than he is a quarterback, so to speak. He doesn't possess the skills, as a Locker or a Mallett for that, or even a Newton. But, he's going to do well in terms of testing. He's going to run a low 4.5. He's going to bench well. He's going to have all the measurements that's going to be eye-popping. But in terms of having – the football savviness and reading coverages and making the right reads and throwing the deep balls and having a particular touch on certain balls, that's a question mark that a lot of guys are having, with Locker. Facing Prince and, Eric Haig and those guys, Crick from, those guys are phenomenal ball players for Nebraska, and it's going to be interesting to see, can Washington match the intensity, that Nebraska, I'm assuming, is going to bring to the table. We also got another guy, Mason Foster, the linebacker there from Washington. He's had an injury-filled career, nevertheless with some knee injuries, but he's bounced back, and he is a Senior Bowl invite. And it's going to be interesting to see, how he plays leading up to the Senior Bowl. So I'm excited for that game.
I've got to agree with you there. And Foster's a guy you brought up on this very show before that I'm really fired up watching and see where he fits in the NFL and just your take on it. I mean, I'm hoping for a nice weak side linebacker spot where he can flow freely and use the tremendous speed he's got. There's definitely a place for him in the NFL. Where do you see him fitting as far as defensive schematically?
Yeah, I think he's more of a 4-3 guy in terms of playing that wheel and playing that apex spot. You know, he can obviously, you know, go out and jam a number two receiver, but at the same time be stout against the run playing the side of the box. Once again, he does, you know, possess exceptional sideline to sideline speed. Would like to see him more stout at the point of attack, you know, versus runs adding. You know, he's not particularly well at shedding blocks and tickling the linemen are in his chest. But nevertheless, he's a great athlete and possesses a lot of skill set, you know, for the linebacker position. Great coverage guy. You know, he's able to turn his hips and run. Great field awareness. But once again, the weakness that I see of Mason is two things. One, the injury bug that's riddled him for the last couple of years with the knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And two, can he be stout in the run, you know, playing against 320-30-pound offensive line week in and week out of NFL.
Yeah, big jump up from the back 10 to that NFL. And on the other side of this ball, real quick, the other pro talent that we've got to break down here is Jared Krick. The guy is immense, 6'6". I mean, a lot of people thought there may be some huge fall-off without Ndamukong Suh by his side. But in my opinion, Krick has proved to be just as disruptive and powerful. I think this is a guy, maybe a potential first, if he declares. What's your take on Krick, and how does he fit in an NFL defense?
Yeah, I don't foresee him coming back. I mean, obviously getting your degree is very, very important, but the NCAA has allowed guys to come back and get their degrees to keep that graduation rate up. But nevertheless, I foresee him coming out. Phenomenal three technique. He's so long and so rangy, and his heart is, you know, he disengages off blocks so well because he's so long with his long arms. He does a good job running his feet on contact, and, you know, for a guy 6'6", he possesses a phenomenally quick first step, you know, off the ball. I mean, I've seen him start his pass rush, you know, off his second step, you know, get into the lineman's back foot before really starting his pass rush. So that says a lot with his first step ability, with his quickness, rather. And once again, he's just a phenomenal athlete. So, you know, that just goes in the line with the Nebraska greats of, you know, Ndamukong Suh and the greats from yesteryears.
No, absolutely. They have had a storied tradition of outstanding defensive linemen, and that is the breakdown of that game. The other one I definitely have to get your take on, I want your take on it, is the game that Justin brought up. Okie State, the Arizona Wildcats here. I mean, just more in depth, it's a heck of a matchup on both sides of the ball. What's your take on the game? Give us some players to watch and what you expect to happen.
Well, obviously, you know, the guy that everybody is going to be, you know, watching, the headline guy, you know, is the receiver, Justin Blackman. You know, he's just been phenomenal throughout the year. You know, whether it be double coverage, you know, or brackage, you know, he's playing out of the world or out of his mind right now. Also, Wendell Hunter, too, you know, expect him to have a great game. We don't know what to expect from Arizona. Arizona's come off, you know, four or five game losing streak. I know their quarterback down there has had some injuries, but, you know, they have some NFL talent down there, but we don't know what to expect, you know, from that Stoops team. You know, Nick Foles is, you know, he's been inconsistent, you know, that's primarily because of the injury that, you know, he sustained throughout the year, but, you know, definitely they do have some talent. You know, Justin Kreiner is a guy that we're going to mention next year, you know, in terms of the 2012 draft and, you know, Nick Grigsby. So they do have some guys, you know, offensively down there that can get it done. But once again, we don't know what Arizona team is going to show up, you know, to play in this game. But from an NFL standpoint, I believe Oklahoma State has, you know, the better talent. And I will, you know, fully expect them to win this game.
Definitely have that trifecta on offense, and you brought up Kreiner. Yeah, folks, paying attention to next year's draft, remember the name. I was interviewing James Dockery from Oregon State, and he had some very high praise for this young man, so that's definitely a guy to watch. And you brought him up. He is a polarizing figure in draft circles, Cal Ron. It's Justin Blackmon, and I've heard many scouts saying, well, you thought Dez Bryant was good. Get a load of this kid. Where do you stand on that? Because, I mean, Dez is one of the best, in my opinions, but Blackmon, he's pretty much dwarfed him with the numbers. Where do you stand on those two?
Yeah, I think Justin has played with a passion to prove that he is the best receiver in the country. And that his play exemplifies that, you know, every Saturday. You know, it's a difference of being athletically gifted. But when you bring that passion, that heart, and the desire that he's bringing, you know, every weekend, I mean, he's head and shoulders, you know, one of the top two or three receivers, you know, if he decides to declare. I fully expect him to, you know, even though he is a redshirt freshman, so he is eligible for that. And once again, he's one of those guys where how can you turn down millions of dollars that's going to be presented to him, because he will be a top 10 pick.
No, I have to agree. There's no exception. I mean, teams, if he's out there, they're going to be chomping at the bit just to get a chance at him. There could be quite a few trading up for the young man. And last guy I wanted to get your take on, and running back's always such a trivial spot, but watching Kendall Hunter this year, I think this is another player that has a chance to be a top 10 back in this draft class just because of the different skills he brings to the table. How do you think he stacks up with the rest of these guys like Owen Ingram, Merle Williams, Daniel Thomas? Where do you think he stacks up in this running back class?
He's definitely, you know, he's a straight line speed guy with a change of direction skill set that's somewhat similar to what Ingram brings, but more of a home run threat than Ingram. He's definitely up there. I mean, golly, you have guys that have fallen off. I mean, DeMarco Murray is a guy that obviously I think is probably the best senior running back in this class. I mean, that's my opinion. I love the guy. But nevertheless, Kendall has played well throughout the year, and he should fare well in that's opportunity in the All-Star games to kind of up his stock, so to speak, and put himself in that mid to late round pick. Top 10, we don't know just in terms of, you know, where the teams are going to be at draft-wise in terms of selection, but definitely he's up there with, you know, with the Murrays, you know, and the Mark Ingrams.
Absolutely up at the top of that heap, and there's a few more matchups that I want to get to, and since I have the guru on, I'm going to keep you on until you hang up on me, Calron. So, but don't hang up on me. I'm just kidding. Insight Bowl, it's Missouri, it's Iowa, and I know this guy is not draft eligible, but it's the tackle on Iowa, Reef, who's going to be blocking this young Alden Smith. It's a matchup that I'm going to be intrigued with Tuesdays when that one's coming by. Missouri is favored in this one, but those are definitely two guys really chomping at the bit to see how they play each other, how they match up, because Alden Smith, we talked about the glut of defensive linemen that may be in this draft. Smith could be one of the best ones. What's your take on Smith and how he may fare against the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, you're talking about a guy with a phenomenal first step. I mean, I being a former outside backer myself, and particularly having my hand on the ground in passing situations, I'm always in awe of guys' first step. And Alden's first step off the ball is phenomenal. He's a rangy guy in terms of his lower body, long legs, long linky legs. But, man, you know, explosive and strong at the point of attack. And once again, we're talking about a guy in 2012 draft that, you know, if he declares and if he continues to play well and stays away from the injury bug, you know, we're talking about a guy who's going to put a lot of money in his pocket and potentially be a high-round pick.
And I got to agree, especially with how many teams now run that 3-4 that he would fit in, and just how much of a passing league it's become. What you're looking for now is either the left tackle, the quarterback, or that pass rusher that can disrupt everything. I just think Alden Smith fits that mold very well. Now, in this game, though, no Johnson Koulianos. Sorry, little operation he had going on there. But the other receiver in Iowa, I'm also a big fan of, Marvin McNutt. This guy, he can take it deep. He's got the size. In your just eyes, from the scout's perspective here, how do you see him stacking up in the pros? Does he have the pro game? Where might he fit in a draft if he's in there?
I've seen him play a couple of times just in terms of his ability to stretch the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that's about 6'4", you know, maybe about 220, 221-ish maybe, but definitely a big body receiver. And, you know, that's what a lot of teams are liking, so to speak, is those big guys that can create matchup problems, and Marvin has definitely done that. Obviously, being a junior, you know, I expect him fully to come back and be draft eligible for the 2012 draft. But once again, we're talking about a guy who has the opportunity, you know, to up his stock, so to speak, for next year's draft.
Definitely. And the last guy from this game, Kel Ron, we've got to talk about him. It's Blaine Gabbert. As far as the quarterback class goes, I think this is a guy who's a bit of a riser. He's definitely got the prototype size. He's playing in this Mizzou offense. He's certainly throwing the ball plenty. How do you think he sizes up in this? It's very crowded QB class, but I think the guy's got some pro game. What's your take on Gabbert?
Yeah, definitely. You're talking about another big body guy, 6'5", 250, you know, that can, you know, throw every ball there is in terms of vertical ball, intermediate, short route, has a good touch, and also is a big body to bring down for those defensive ends, you know, for those nickelbacks that are coming on those blitzes. My opinion, I think he should stay for the simple fact we're talking about a crowded quarterback class for the 2012 class, and that's assuming that all the guys do declare, you know, Mallett, Locker, Luck. You know, we're talking about a guy that will be a Heisman Trophy candidate, you know, in the preseason and Blaine. And once again, I, in my opinion, you know, the money's always going to be there. And not going to worry, you know, there's always the injury bug factor. That's always, you know, the big question mark in a lot of players and parents and agents, you know, back of their mind. But Blaine should definitely stay. And, you know, we're talking about in 2012. You know, definitely a first-round guy. I mean, I don't foresee him being a first-round guy this year. Once again, predicated on those guys, you know, exiting for the NFL draft, we're talking about a second or third-round pick maybe. But once again, if he stays, we're, you know, he has opportunity to up his ante, so to speak, and solidify himself as the number one quarterback.
That's a good point. He could be sitting in the fabled catbird seat in the 2012 draft class if he does stick around. You're listening to College Football Insiders Radio, powered by All Access Football. I'm on live with NFLDraftBible.com, Super Scout Kel Ron Sykes. We got two more games to break down, and one of them is the Texas Bowl here, a game I'm pretty stoked up about, how Illinois gets in a bowl with a 6-6 record. I mean, it's beyond me, but they're playing Baylor, and Kel Ron, as far as when I look at the Baylor Bears, there's one guy that always sticks out like a sore thumb, and it's because he's a massive 6'4", 355-pound man-child, and that's Phil Taylor. I just think this guy, you're looking for the true nose in a 3-4 defense, the guy that just sets the tone. This is it for NFL teams. I think scouts have got to be salivating over this big kid.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's a big kid, a big anchor. I mean, he's massively huge, particularly his trunk area, strong at the point of attack, a guy that's able to, you know, present a pocket presence, playing that nose position. He also has lined up in the shade technique as well. And once again, he's a guy that's going to be intriguing, sort of in the lines, to speak, of the defensive lineman from last year from Alabama. Just in terms of his body size, but nevertheless, is a guy that's played phenomenal this year. And once again, he styled at the point of attack versus the run, and it should be interesting to see what he does in these All-Star games.
That, and also in this matchup, he's facing a decent rushing attack in Illinois. And the other guy I wanted to get your take on, Kel Ron, Mikel LeSueur. Some people call him a poor man's Jamal Lewis. I don't know about that comparison, but I want to say he's got better hands maybe than Jamal, maybe not the same running game. How do you see LeSueur? What type of back do you see when you watch Illinois?
Yeah, I've seen him. He doesn't look to be 6 foot, more of a stocky guy. Yeah, I can't see the resemblance. But nevertheless, he looks about 5'9", maybe about 230, 235-ish. Stocky kid. The guy can able, you know, he's able to stretch the field. I've seen him separate from defenders, which was surprising because he is a big leg guy, tree trunk type of leg type of guy. And he did open up and separate from from defenders, but nevertheless, a good inside the box runner, or excuse me, inside the tackles runner, powerful. And he's once again, you're talking about a guy that's a junior that's going to be intriguing for the 2012 draft.
Absolutely, and he's ran hard this year. That's definitely two of the matchups we like in that game, Baylor, Illinois. The other one I have to talk about, and don't hold this against me, Cal Ron. I promise you, I am a Notre Dame fan. I'll just get that out of the way right now. But it's the Sun Bowl I've got to talk about because one of the biggest matchups, and I don't know if a lot of people are putting this out there yet, but really, you talk about Notre Dame, you look right at Michael Floyd, the 6'3 kid. He can make things happen outside, but Miami has a little something to say about that. Brandon Harris, this has got to be one of the better matchups coming in all these bowl games for me, just to see how Floyd does and if Harris can actually shut him down. Who you like in this game, and talk about the matchup a little bit.
Well, we're talking about two teams, two former programs that were, head and shoulders, the cream of the crop. We're talking about in the 80s and the 90s. Obviously with the coaching change that's going on in Miami, we don't know what type of team. We don't know what type of Miami team is showing up. Now, I am, and I will say this, I am a Brian Kelly fan. I have a son who's in high school now, and I've been, stressing Notre Dame to him. And, we're talking about a program that's – I think Brian Kelly is going to get them turned around. Michael Floyd is a big-body receiver. Being 6'4", 230 pounds. Once again, you follow that line of the big body receiver who can play in the slot and also play outside of the hash that can stretch the field or run across the middle or intermediate routes and be effective. It's going to be a dogfight. Once again, we don't know what Miami team is going to show up. Obviously, they do have the better, athletes in terms of foot speed, throughout the positions. But, I'm going to give the edge to Notre Dame just for the simple fact that this is going to be a building block for them for 2012, not only for recruiting, but also just for the pride of the program. It's going to be interesting to see, with the quarterback situation that's going on for both teams, how that quarterback, solidifies himself throughout the game. But once again, I think Notre Dame overall – will come in and play effective, both offensively and defensively and special teams wise, and pull away with the victory.
Most definitely. I did not know your son played. What position is he playing, first off?
Well, yeah, he's a receiver. He's a tight end and a strong safety. Being a 6'3" already, 14 years old, he's a big boy. Big kid, so I'm thinking he's going to probably be a tight end on the next level, but I'm trying to keep him on his feet and keep his athletic ability going, so when his time is in terms of being recruited, his time to come, he should hopefully have the Texases and the Notre Dames and Oregon States knocking on his door.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that's a future player spotlight on the old NFL Draft Bible. That will be all too sweet in that one. Now, get you out of here on this, Kel Ron, and we just brought up Floyd. We know he's going to play at the next level, but once again, some of the strengths of this draft class is looking upcoming. 2011 looks to be littered with a lot of great wide receivers, good seniors, and really great juniors. If Floyd's in that mix, does he still fit in the first round?
Good question. That's a good question. Once again, that's predicated on those guys. We're talking about AJ Green leaving, Jonathan Baldwin, Julio Jones, Broyles, and not to mention the seniors at San Diego State and Vincent Brown and DeMarco Simpson. This is a heavy, heavy, heavy wide receiver class that, has the potential to be one of the better classes in the last couple of years just in terms of the depth. But, you know, I fully expect him to come out. You know, he stacks up really well versus those guys. Once again, if he tests well in terms of running, you know, if he tests a 4.4 coming out or below, you know, obviously he has all the physical athletic ability, you know, to match up with guys. But it's a matter of being a right fit for an NFL team. A lot of guys have a lot of great measurables coming out in terms of the 40 time, broad jump, bench press, but, you know, are they the right fit in a particular system? You know, can they play at the next level? Are they able to, you know, understand coverages in terms of receivers? You know, is he too high, you know, one high, one shell, two shell? You know, different terminology and different, you know, eye sets that, you know, these guys are going to see on the next level. And if he's able, and you know, to adjust to that, or you know, leading up to the draft, I think he should be a fine fit in the NFL.
Definitely a prototype receiver, a guy that could lead a team in their passing game. Kel Ron, you led us through it, and I can't thank you enough for being on with us. You've been listening to Super Scout, Kel Ron Sykes, joining us on College Football Insiders Radio. Once again, we will catch up with you next week, sir, and cheers, and of course, best holiday wishes.
Yes, you too. You guys have a great holiday, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Kel Ron, appreciate it again. And all you all out there on Archive, you're listening to this. We're going to be back next Thursday. That's right, 5 p.m., College Football Insiders Radio. Daniel Moglione will be back. Hopefully he is healthy and kicking that flu right in the butt. NFLDraftBible.com is where you need to go to stay in the know. It's all NFL Draft. It's the only thing we know. So we're going to be back next week. You all keep it dialed in. Stay classy, folks.